Well, by now, I hope that you all know that God's purpose and plan for the day that we live in is for the word to be shared and for the witness to be spread. And that's what God is up to, and that is his purpose and plan is for, according to Matthew 24:14, for the gospel of the kingdom to be preached in all the world for a witness to all the nations. And his purpose was for that to be done before the end comes. And that's what he's up to. That's the time that you and I live in. We actually live in the last days. And I know that we may not be at the very end, for example, of the tribulation period. Obviously, we're not. But we are living in the last days. And every day that passes, we're getting closer and closer to the end. And the great work that God is doing, ladies and gentlemen, is about spreading the gospel of the kingdom throughout the world for the witness to go to all the nations, to everyone who will hear, everyone who has an ear to hear, that they will be able to hear the gospel. God is calling missionaries. God is calling people to lead church ministries. And God is planting people in places of employment where they can witness to somebody and putting them in neighborhoods where they can talk to their neighbors. And God is giving his people the boldness and the power of the Holy Spirit to just intentionally go with for the purpose of sharing the gospel with other people, of always just being ready and on mission and ready to give to share a witness and to tell people about Christ and about his kingdom and about who he is and what he has done for us. And that is, we just want to be like the shepherds. And the Bible tells us that after they found the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, they just had to go and tell everyone. And we want to be like those seniors, don't we? And like Simeon and Anna that just shared the witness about Christ right there in the middle of the temple area and throughout Jerusalem, telling everyone about the Lord, that the Messiah had come. We want to be like those sojourners. There's wise men that traveled from the east, and when they got to Jerusalem, they were bold enough to ask the question that shook the entire city, and that is, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And we want to be able to look back to the scriptures, that is the Old Testament scriptures, the same scriptures that led the wise men to Christ, the same scriptures that pointed Timothy and made him wise unto salvation. Those Old Testament scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, stand out as a witness. Everywhere the Old Testament is, listen to me now, even in those areas of the world that only allow the Old Testament in, even in those areas, ladies and gentlemen, there is a bold, strong witness. Even in those nations that may be closed to New Testament and Christianity, yet when the Old Testament is present in any of those places, there is a bold witness. And the reason why is because the scriptures stand out as a witness, and they're pointing to Christ and to his death on the cross and his resurrection and to the salvation that we have in him. Whether you're reading in the writings of Moses or whether you're looking in the Psalms or whether you're reading the prophets, all of them are pointing to Christ, the witness of the scriptures. And then we begin, and then we just finished looking at the witness of the Son. And we discovered that God, who sent the prophets and spoke through them, has spoken fully and finally by and through his Son, Hebrews chapter number 1, and that Jesus came to bear witness unto the truth of what he said to Pilate in John chapter number 18. And the Bible indicates to us, ladies and gentlemen, that the Son of God has come to bear witness, and his words bear witness. That is, the very words that he said and also the works that he did, all the way from the miracles that were a revelation of his power to the time that he comes again some of these days. All of his works are testifying to who he is and the great salvation that we have in him. So we've been looking at the word and the witness of the shepherds and the seniors and the sojourners and the scriptures and the Son. But I want you to think with me for a little while now about the witness of the Spirit. The witness of the Spirit. After the Son of God ascended to the right hand of God, as we talked about in the service this morning, after he was seated there at the right hand, our great high priest, our intercessor, awaiting for that time, ladies and gentlemen, whenever he will come again one of these days, when he'll descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise and we'll be caught up to meet him in the air. Until that time, the Bible indicates to us that the Spirit of God has come to continue the witness on this planet. Just as was promised, the Spirit of God has come to continue the ministry, that is the witness that Jesus began. We, in John chapter number 14, for example, you'll read this, and Jesus promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. This isn't the first place, but listen to this. In John 14 and verse number 16, the Bible tells us there that Jesus said, I'm going to pray to the Father, and He'll give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him. For He dwelleth with you. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said He shall be in you. That one of these days, Jesus said, I'm getting ready to leave, but you're not going to be left without a helper or without a comforter. And the reason why is because there's another one on the way. And the other one that's on the way is just like Him. The wording there in the Greek indicates another one just like Him is on the way. And when He comes, He also is going to continue the ministry that Christ began. And part of that ministry is the ministry of bearing witness, sharing and continuing the witness. We see that in John 14, continuing in verse number 26, that the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things, and will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He's going to come and do some teaching and some reminding, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit, whenever He comes. Listen to chapter 15 and verse number 26, which would be probably the text for this area of the message. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me. That is, when the Spirit of God comes, He's going to testify. I mean, now up until this point, it's been Jesus who's been doing the testifying. And that is, our Lord has been the one who's been bearing witness by His words and by His works. But Jesus said He's getting ready to go away, and the Spirit of God is going to come. And when the Spirit of God comes, He's going to do the testifying. He's going to testify of Me. He's going to continue to reveal who it is that I am and what it is that I have done. The witness of the Holy Spirit. The witness of the Holy Spirit is mentioned in Acts chapter number 20. Let me just call your attention to a passage there in Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 22. Paul is, it is the ministry of the Apostle Paul as he is on his way to Jerusalem. And there's already been a prophecy that he's going to be arrested, and he knows that the likelihood is great that when he gets here, he will be arrested. But he's on his way anyway. He's not going to turn back. That is, the threat of being arrested does not intimidate this man of God. The Bible tells us there in Acts chapter number 20, verse 22, "Now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." But listen to the next phrase. "Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." I like that little phrase there, and the reason why is because Paul is just expressing to these believers in Ephesus, he's expressing to them that when he gets to Jerusalem, he doesn't know what's going to happen. That is, he doesn't know what's going to happen to him. But he does know what's going to happen. And that is the one thing he said, there's one exception, there's one thing that I know is going to take place, and is the Holy Ghost is going to do some witnessing. That is, he does it in every city that I go to. Even whenever I get arrested and I'm put in bonds and have to stay there in that city, the Holy Ghost even uses that to be a witness in that city. What I want you to see here is the witness of the Holy Spirit. You see, you and I just thought it was Paul that was doing the witnessing, didn't we? But you know, if it was just Paul that was doing the witnessing, it wouldn't amount to too much. But I tell you, when the Holy Ghost of God gets to doing the witnessing, then some things are going to take place in the cities that Paul traveled to. The Holy Spirit of God is bearing witness. He is sharing the witness in Jerusalem. Did you know in Hebrews 10:15, the Bible talks about the Holy Ghost is a witness to us? The Holy Ghost is a witness to us. So we've got to think then about the witness of the Holy Spirit. And as we do, there are at least three areas of His witness that we'll have to focus on, and I will not have time, I don't think, to deal with all three of them this evening. So I want you to think with me, first of all, about His witness through revelation. His witness through revelation. You say, how could it be that the Holy Spirit is witnessing in every city? How is it that the Holy Spirit is testifying of Christ like Jesus said He would? When the Comforter comes, He'll testify of me. How could that be? How is it that the Holy Spirit is doing that? Well, the word that describes the witness of the Holy Spirit is the word revelation. It is the word revelation, and that is, it's that making known. In some cases, what has not been known before. It is the work of revelation. Just as Jesus came to bear witness unto the truth, even so the Holy Spirit has come to continue that purpose, and that is to reveal truth. Now, Jesus gives us an explanation of this here in the Gospel of John in chapter number 16. Notice what the Bible says in John chapter number 16, beginning in verse number 12. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you. Now, let me remind you that in John 16, He's with His disciples, and they're in the upper room. He's just there with the 12, and probably by now just 11. Judas has probably already exited the area, already selling our Lord out. And our Lord is teaching them and getting them ready for what is about to happen, because He's getting ready, when He leaves the upper room, to go to the garden, where He's going to be arrested and then tried and crucified. And He says to them, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Jesus said, I've got a lot of things I need to continue to reveal to you, to communicate to you, but right now is not the time. Right now you can't bear them, or you won't be able to understand what it is that I'm saying. There's a lot left to say, but I'm not going to be able to say it all to you at this time. Howbeit, He says in verse 13, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. When the Spirit of God comes, He's going to continue the ministry that Jesus began, that ministry of revealing truth. Jesus said that I've been guiding you into truth, but He said I've got a lot more to say that I can't say to you now, but the Spirit of God is going to continue that ministry, and He is the one who's going to guide you into all truth. The Bible says here about the Holy Spirit that He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. That wording there may remind you of what Jesus said about Himself. And that is that even our Lord Himself, when we were looking at the words of our Lord, the witness of His words, Jesus said that the words that He spoke were the Father's words. That He didn't speak of Himself, but that which He heard is what He spoke. That is, His word was God's word. And now He's saying the same thing about the Spirit of God. And that is that as the Holy Spirit comes and guides them into all truth, and as the Holy Spirit comes and begins to speak to them, the Bible says here that He's going to show them, He's going to reveal to them what it is, ladies and gentlemen, that He has heard. In other words, what He says is what the Father is saying and what the Son is saying. The Bible says in verse 14, He shall glorify me. The Spirit of God will glorify the Son of God, and He'll receive of mine and show it unto you. You know what that means? That means that everything the Spirit of God's saying is what the Son of God is saying. And everything the Spirit of God is saying is what the Father is saying. Look at verse 15. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. In other words, the Bible is telling us here that the Spirit of God is going to come, and He's going to continue the ministry of revelation. That is, He's going to bear witness through revelation by revealing truth. The truth that He reveals is the same thing that the Father says, and it's the same thing that the Son is saying. I want you to know this, and I know you do, and that is, when it comes to divine revelation, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are saying the same thing. They're saying the same thing. The Spirit of God is not saying something that the Son of God, that is God the Son and God the Father, is not saying. Anybody who tries to take you down a line of teaching and tries to distinguish what the Spirit of God is saying from what it is that the Father and the Son are saying, you better just back up a couple of steps and just listen closely, because you might be headed down a bad road. The Spirit of God, the Son of God, and God the Father are lined up. They're one in essence, and they are united in their revelation to us. There's no distinction. There's no difference in the revelation. What the Son is saying is what the Father has said, and what the Father and the Son has said is what the Spirit has come to reveal. That's the point that Jesus is saying. And my point for you to see in this explanation is the work and the witness of the Holy Spirit. And that is that Jesus is getting ready to leave. And after Jesus leaves, he's not going to be with them to teach them and to guide them. Now, after his resurrection, there's a time period in which the Lord appears to them. He opens their understanding. He takes the Old Testament scriptures and begins to reveal himself to them out of the Old Testament scriptures. He enlightens their understanding. But one day, Jesus ascended out of their sight to the right hand of God and is seated there and is no longer present with them. But there's another one just like Jesus who is with them, and it is the Spirit of God. And Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to continue this work of revelation, of revealing divine truth, of bearing witness. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what he's doing. That's the Holy Spirit operating in the world today. Through divine revelation, I'm trying to speak to you about his witness through revelation. We have this explanation here in John chapter number 16, but let's think about the experience of this. And that is the experience of this divine revelation. I want us to focus for just a few moments about on the experiences of those who received revelations from the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of God is going to come, as Jesus said, and he has, to reveal divine truth, how does that work itself out in our experience? Well, when you begin to reading in the New Testament, you'll find out that the Spirit of God came on the day of Pentecost in the same manner that Jesus said he would come, and they all became one body in Christ that day. And the Bible tells us that they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God began to do his ministry, his work of revelation. There are many examples of this, and I'll narrow it down to just a few. For example, one of the examples that I'd like for you to see is the revelation of the Spirit to a man named Philip. Some of you might remember Philip in the New Testament. And that is that he was one of those individuals who got saved probably on the day of Pentecost or in the days or weeks shortly thereafter. And this man named Philip, when it came time for the church to choose out 7 men to minister to the widows and make sure they had all the material provision that they needed, the Bible says they needed men who were full of faith, men who were trustworthy and honest, and who were full of the Spirit of God. And there are two of them that really stand out, and we remember them is because of what the New Testament in the book of Acts tells about them. One of them was a man by the name of Stephen. And we remember Stephen, don't we? And the reason why is because filled with the Spirit of God, Stephen spoke the Word of God, and the people in Jerusalem under the leadership of Saul of Tarsus became so enraged at him that they stoned him to death. And this man named Stephen. Do you know that whenever Stephen was preaching the Word of God, he did so filled with the Spirit of God and full of wisdom? And as Stephen spoke, there was a revelation of the Spirit that was taking place. The Spirit of God was speaking through this man of God, revealing the truth of God. He was revealing divine truth. There was a revelation that was taking place. Not only that, but there was the man named Philip as well. And he was chosen, and we know Philip, and the reason why we know about Philip is because after persecution broke out, after the stoning of Stephen, the believers began to scatter. And as they scattered, as they left Jerusalem, scattered because of persecution, and by the way, and this won't cost you any extra, and that is when the world does its worst, God's still in control. And that is when the world levels persecution at the people of God and tries to intimidate them and stop them. I want you to know that God will even use that because he's a sovereign God for his glory and his purposes. And he used it to get those believers out of Jerusalem. I don't know how you are, but when there's good fellowship and there's good preaching and there's good teaching and there's good singing, I don't know about you, but I could just hang around for a while, couldn't you? I'm just not in a hurry to leave. Now, some of you might be. You might be looking at your watch every once in a while and thinking, you know what, this may be a long service tonight the way it's looking right about now. Yeah. Some of you might be thinking about getting home and getting that snack. Some of you might be thinking about getting home and getting things together for tomorrow. And then there are others of you, and I'd say probably the majority of you, say we're just not in a hurry to go anywhere. And that is, we enjoy the fellowship, and we like a little singing, and we like to get around the Word and just look at it and think about it for a little while. You may not be in much of a hurry. I'm going to tell you that whenever these folks encountered Christ in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, when they met the Lord, they didn't want to leave. And when I say they didn't want to leave, I mean they didn't want to go back home. They wanted to stay right there, and the reason why is because that's where the apostles were. And the apostles were teaching, and they remained steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread and prayers. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter number 2, they stayed right there. They didn't go back home. And they just hung around, and they hung around, and they witnessed throughout Jerusalem. They shook the town up, sharing the gospel and being a witness throughout the area of Jerusalem. But finally there came that day whenever Stephen was stoned to death and persecution that had been growing in the city of Jerusalem against these believers. It finally really came to a culmination point with the death of Stephen. And I mean, Saul of Tarsus and those who were on his team, they were out to destroy the church. And so they had to begin to scatter. They had to go home. They couldn't keep staying there after the weeks of being there. They had to leave. And so as they scattered back into various areas, the Bible says in Acts chapter number 8 that they went everywhere preaching the word. And there was a man named Philip that really begins to stand out in Acts chapter number 8. And the reason why he does is because of the fact that he went into the area of Samaria. And it was there in the cities of the Samaritans that Philip began to preach the gospel. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter number 8 that God just began to move. Miracles began to take place. And the Bible tells us that unclean spirits and demons were being cast out. Crippled people, those who were lame, were suddenly healed. And there were people getting saved. There was a great move of God as a result of the Spirit anointed and empowered preaching of this man named Philip. I mean, the witness of the gospel was spreading in the area of Samaria. And then the Holy Spirit spoke. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter number 8, beginning of verse 26, the angel of the Lord, there was an angel of the Lord that spoke unto Philip. And he said, arise and go towards the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and he went. That is, an angelic revelation came to him and said, get out of Samaria and go to a deserted area. So he got up and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority unto Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come up to Jerusalem for the worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. That is, he goes to this deserted area and there just happens to be a high-ranking official from Ethiopia who is traveling in a chariot, no doubt with an entourage of people, and he's traveling along in this deserted area on his way back from Jerusalem where he had been. And the Bible says the Spirit of God spoke to Philip. Right there in verse number 29, the Spirit said unto Philip. And you know what he said? He said, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now I'm going to say to you that Philip wouldn't have known what to do. He wouldn't have known where to go. He wouldn't have known which direction to head in. He might have backed off and let this high-ranking official just pass on by. But the Spirit of God revealed something to him, didn't he? And the Spirit of God said, I want you to go and I want you to get close to his chariot. And so you know what Philip did? He ran up there to his chariot, and the Bible says he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he asked him the question, understandest what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip, that is the Ethiopian, desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture, the Bible says that he was reading, was in Isaiah 53, where it says he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch said, he asked Philip after reading from Isaiah 53, he said, I want to know who in the world is the prophet talking about? Oh, the suffering servant in Isaiah 53, is he talking about himself or somebody else? And the Bible says that Philip opened his mouth and he began at that scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know what the Spirit of God just did? That is the Spirit of God just revealed to Philip where he needed to go and what he needed to do and who it is that he needed to approach. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, a witness was shared with the Ethiopian, and no doubt this man took the gospel back to North Africa. Listen to me now. This may be the very first time that the gospel is penetrating the continent of Africa, and it is because of the revelation of the Holy Spirit. A revelation of the Spirit to Philip. There's also a revelation of the Spirit to Peter. You'll read about it in Acts chapter number 10. And the Bible tells us there, in beginning in verse number 1, that there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band, of the Italian band. And he was a devout man. And the Bible says, one that feared God with all of his house, which gave alms to the people and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, Cornelius did, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. And he said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. This is the man that feared God, but he wasn't saved. He was seeking God, but he didn't know the Lord yet. He was honest and sincere, and he said, seeking, and I know he was lost, and God isn't supposed to hear the prayers of lost people, but he did, this man. And the reason why is because he was honest and he was seeking. And ladies and gentlemen, God heard his prayers, and he said to him in verse 5, send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. He got a vision from God. God spoke to him and said, I want you to go and send your men to Joppa, to a certain house. He gave him the house, and you send for a man named Peter. Listen to the rest of the story. Verse 9. On the morrow, the next day, as they went on their journey and drew nigh or near into the city, Peter went upon the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. He became very hungry. He would have eaten. But while they made ready, that is, while they were getting his meal ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open, a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. And wherein, that is, in that sheet, were all manners of four-footed beasts of the earth, of wild things and creeping things, fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. This man tried to follow the Jewish law, the dietary laws, and there were animals in there that were not considered clean. And the voice spoke unto him again the second time, and he says, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done thrice, took three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. And the Bible says that Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. And while he was doubting, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, lodged there. And I want you to picture the scene. Here they are, these men from Cornelius. They're at the gate where Peter's at. And Peter's had this vision on this housetop of all these animals that he's supposed to rise up and eat. And God tells him to quit calling that which he has cleansed common or unclean. And God is giving him a vision to prepare him for what is about to happen. An unclean Gentile, considered unclean by the Jews, ladies and gentlemen. His servants are about to knock on the gate, and they're about to encounter Peter. All of this is happening in perfect timing. And then you get to verse number 19. While Peter thought on this vision, guess who spoke? The Spirit of God. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, get up, Peter, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And he did. He got up and he went down and he went with these men. He went to the house of Cornelius. And listen, when he got there, ladies and gentlemen, he found a man that was seeking God. He found a man who was under conviction. He found a man who needed the Lord. And he began to preach to him and tell him all about Jesus. And the Bible tells us there that Cornelius turned to Christ, received Christ. There was a manifestation of the Spirit among the Gentiles like there was among the Jews, giving evidence that they had been born again, saved by the grace of God, just like the Jews were. Listen to me now. Peter would have never known where to go. He would have never known what to do. Listen, he would have listen, if he had been like you and I, he'd have never opened the door when he saw strangers knocking on it. But the Spirit of God revealed to him that he needed to go with these men. He needed to go open the door. He needed to go with these men that God was in it. And as a result, ladies and gentlemen, the witness is now spreading to the Gentiles. Cornelius may well be the first Gentile, the opening of the door of the gospel to the Gentiles. And you know the reason why? It's because of the revelation of the Holy Spirit. The witness has spread to North Africa because God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to Philip. Hey, the witness has spread now to the Gentiles, to Cornelius, and the reason why is because of the revelation of the Holy Spirit. We not only read about this revelation of the Spirit to Philip, we not only read about this revelation of the Spirit to Peter, but we also read about the revelations of the Spirit to Paul. There are many, but let's look at just two or three. Look in Acts chapter number 13 for just a moment. Bible tells us that this man Saul of Tarsus, we know about his conversion to Christ in Acts chapter number 9. And after his conversion, he spent about 9 or 10 years sharing the gospel. And in and around Tarsus and Damascus and those areas and receiving revelations from the Lord. And there came that time when a dear friend of his from years gone by, Barnabas, came knocking on his door. And he said, Saul, I've been at Antioch. And down there at Antioch of Syria, God is moving, souls are being saved, Gentiles are turning to Christ. I need you to come and help me. And so the Bible tells us that Saul of Tarsus went with Barnabas to Antioch of Syria. And as they are there together for about a year, teaching and preaching the Word of God, the Spirit of God spoke. Acts 13. There were in the church that was Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, that is, the Holy Spirit revealed to them this truth, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I've called them. And so when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, Barnabas and Saul, and sent them away. The revelation of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit revealed to those leaders in the church at Antioch that these two men, Barnabas and Saul, were to be set apart for a special work, sent out for a special work. And many of you know already that special work was the first missionary journey. That's right. The witness is going to spread. It's going to spread into areas, ladies and gentlemen, where it's never been before. Paul and Barnabas are going to travel to the islands. Paul and Barnabas are going to travel to the area, the Galatian cities. They are going to spread the gospel. It hasn't been that long ago that you and I journeyed with them on the first missionary journey, step by step, and we saw the gospel spreading. And the reason why the witness of the gospel spread throughout that area on the first missionary journey, which of course led to the second and third missionary journey, the reason why is because of the revelation of the Spirit of God revealed to them that they were to set these men aside for this ministry, for this work. The revelation of the Holy Spirit to Paul, leading to the first missionary journey. On the second missionary journey, in Acts chapter number 16, you'll see the Holy Spirit again revealing, giving revelations to Paul. In Acts chapter number 16, notice with me verse number 6, that the Bible says we're on the second missionary journey now, when they had gone through Phrygia, through the region of Galatia. That is, they went through the area where they went to on the first missionary journey and strengthened the believers in the churches that they had established on the first missionary journey. And when they had done that, they were trying to figure out which way to go. What new direction do we go in now that we've gone back through these areas? Well, the Bible says in verse number 6 that they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. The Spirit of God said no. He revealed to them that they were not to go in that direction in the area of Asia Minor. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go in Bithynia. And listen, but the Spirit suffered them not. The Spirit of God revealed to them they weren't to go into the area of Bithynia. And so they, passing by Mysia, that is going on by, they just came down to Troas, and that's where they parked their missionary train right there. And the Bible says that while they were there, that a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And in that vision, you remember this, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after we had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Now I want you to picture this. Paul's on the second missionary journey. He's trying to figure out which way am I going to go. I'm going to go into the area of Asia. And all of a sudden the Spirit of God revealed to him that he can't go in that direction. And he said, well, I'm going to go into the area of Bithynia. And the Spirit of God said, don't go in that direction. And so Paul said, I better just park it right here at Troas, and I better find the mind of God and wait on God to speak. And that very night when he received that vision of the man of Macedonia saying, come and help us. And do you know, ladies and gentlemen, and as a result of the fact that the Spirit of God revealed to Paul where he wasn't supposed to go, and then he had the vision of the man of Macedonia, do you know for that reason the witness of the gospel has now entered the European continent? This is the occasion. This is when the gospel spreads into Europe. And they go into the areas like Macedonia. And they go into the cities like Corinth. And they go into the cities of Athens and other cities. And the European continent now is experiencing the gospel. You know what the Spirit of God is up to? He's up to spreading the witness. He's spreading the witness. And he's doing it through divine revelation. Do you know not only the places that Paul went, but also the preaching that he did was a result of the revelatory work of the Holy Spirit? Look at 1 Corinthians 2 and you'll see that clearly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and beginning in verse number 7. He said, but we speak wisdom, the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the foundation before the world unto our glory. In other words, he's saying, listen, what I've been preaching to you and revealing to you is that which has been hidden. It's been a mystery. It hasn't been revealed before. None of the princes of this world knew it. That's right. For had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. That is, they didn't know this truth that I'm revealing to you, or they wouldn't have done what they did. The Jewish leaders and the Roman leaders, if they'd have known. But they didn't know what I'm revealing to you. But as it is written, now listen to this, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. We all love that verse, don't we? Because it's an excuse for us not to know anything. There's just some things we can't know. But you got to read the next verse. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The revelatory work of the Holy Spirit. That's right. And there, Paul explains, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Everything about God the Spirit knows. And he's revealing that, Paul says. Those things that the eye has never seen, the ears never heard, the Spirit of God's revealing those things. He knows everything about God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man. But the Spirit of God sure knows, doesn't he? He knows everything. And Paul says we've received that Spirit. He said in verse 12, we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. God wants us to know. And the means by which you and I can know that which has not been revealed before is through the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, which things also we speak. Paul said, that's what I've been telling you. Those are the things I've been speaking. Not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Here's what Paul is saying. Not only the places that he went were the result of the revelation of the Holy Spirit to him, but the preaching that he did flowed out of the revelation of the Holy Spirit to him. Paul wasn't preaching something he just made up. The Spirit of God revealed this message to him. Even those things that were a mystery, that weren't known before, that Paul explained and expounded in his preaching to the churches and in his letters left for us, ladies and gentlemen, come from the Holy Spirit. So here's what we've seen. When it comes to the revelation, the witness of the Holy Spirit through revelation, We've seen the revelation of the Spirit to Philip. That's why the gospel went to North Africa. We've seen the revelation of the Spirit to Peter. That's why the gospel went to the Gentiles, beginning with Cornelius. We've seen now the revelation of the Spirit to Paul. That's why the first missionary journey began. That's why the gospel went to the continent of Europe, because of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul knew what to preach, because the Holy Spirit had revealed it to him. And let's notice now the revelation of the Spirit to the prophets. There's an interesting verse in 2 Peter chapter number 1. I want you to hear it. You probably have read this before. I'm going to briefly explain it, and then we're going to find a place to land this plane. Second Peter chapter 1, verse number 19. We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, like a light, as a light that shineth in a dark place. If you're in a dark place and you have a light, you better use that light. And he's saying the same way. We've got a word of prophecy that we need to take heed to, like that. It's like a light shining in a dark place until the day dawn. And the day star arise in your heart. And here's what he's talking about. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture. That's right. He's talking about the prophecies of Scripture. That no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy, listen to this now, the prophecy that is the prophecy that we find in Scripture came not in old time by the will of man. That is, the prophets didn't just make this up or decide this. But the Bible says that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see, what the Bible is telling us here, ladies and gentlemen, is that indeed the Holy Spirit is the one who revealed to the prophets what we have contained in the Old Testament Scriptures. When you read back through the Old Testament, what you are reading is the witness of the Holy Spirit. The revelation of the Holy Spirit. Do you know the reason why that we have the Old Testament is because of the ministry, the work of the Holy Spirit in divine revelation? The prophets would not have known what to have said or to have written had the Holy Spirit not moved upon them and moved within them, so that what they spoke and what they wrote is indeed the very word of God. That's right. He has given to us the Scriptures. In Hebrews chapter number 10, we have a good example of this. I want you to see this. It's kind of interesting. In Hebrews chapter number 10, I want you to see, ladies and gentlemen, that as a result of the revelation of the Holy Spirit to the prophets, we have the Old Testament Scriptures. In Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 15, it says this. It says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. We'll read that phrase again. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, the Holy Spirit, and here's what he said. He said, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. The Bible says that, ladies and gentlemen, is what the Holy Spirit said as a witness to us. And do you know where the Holy Spirit said that? Well, he said it in the book of Jeremiah. This is a quote from Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verse 31 and following. So you know what that must tell us? Here's what the writer of Hebrews is telling us. And that is that passage in the book of Jeremiah was spoken by the Holy Spirit as a witness to us. Now, if that's true of Jeremiah, then based on what we read in 2 Peter chapter number 1, we can probably, and I believe safely and rightfully, assume that the entire Old Testament was revealed by the Holy Spirit. That the holy men of God, whether you're talking about the writings of Moses, whether you're talking about the historical books of the Old Testament, Whether you're talking about the Psalms, the Proverbs, the writings of wisdom, or whether you're talking about the prophets, that all of it, ladies and gentlemen, is the product of the revelation of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit has left this witness, and we discovered that is the witness of Scripture. I spent a lot of time on that. You should know that the Old Testament Scripture stands out as a witness. Well, the source of that witness is the Holy Spirit, who moved upon those holy men of God so that we have this book. Absolutely. When Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, remember he said there to continue. Timothy, continue in the things that you've learned, that you've heard, knowing of whom you've heard them. And he said this. He said that the Holy Scriptures that you have learned have made you wise unto salvation. And he's saying, hold on to those Old Testament Scriptures. And the reason why is because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, so that you, Timothy, the man of God, can be thoroughly furnished unto all good work. You know what he was saying about the Scriptures when he said that all the Scriptures are divinely inspired? He's especially pointing to the Old Testament that Timothy grew up on and learned. And he says that they are God-breathed. That word divinely inspired comes from a compound word which means the breath of God. Theonoustos, the very breath of God. These Scriptures were breathed out by God. Do you know that that word, that is the word that is used there, where it talks about the breath of God, is the word that's also used that is to refer to the Spirit of God. You know where this book came from? It was breathed out by God, by the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moved upon those men of God, and as they spoke and they wrote, the very words of God. What I'm trying to get you to see is the witness of the Holy Spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, through the process of revelation, His revelation to the prophets, resulting in the Old Testament Scriptures. But do you know that as a result of the revelation of the Holy Spirit, we not only have the Old Testament Scriptures, but we also have the New Testament Gospels? The reason why we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is because of the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Jesus said in the upper room in John 15 when he was talking about the Holy Spirit. In John chapter number 14 and verse number 26, here's what he said. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and listen to this now, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Spirit of God, when He comes, He's going to cause you to remember all the things that I've said to you. You say, Pastor, how did Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how did they know? How could they remember all these things, all these events, all these details? Jesus just said the Holy Spirit is going to come and He's going to cause you to remember all of these events. And that's the reason why that we have the four Gospels. It is because of the revelatory work of the Holy Spirit. As a result of the revelation of the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, we not only have the Old Testament Scriptures, we not only have the Gospels, but we also have the New Testament epistles. When Jesus said in John 16 and verse number 13, when He spoke these words to His disciples, He said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. That is, He is going to reveal all truth to you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason why that we have Paul's letters. And the reason why is because the Spirit of God revealed to this man of God, to Paul and to Peter and to John, He revealed to them divine truth, and the revelation that they received is what they spoke and what they wrote, so that we have the very words of God. Not only the New Testament Gospels and the New Testament Epistles, but ladies and gentlemen, even the revelation at the end of our New Testament, the reason why that we have it is because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Right here in John 16 and verse number 13, it says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He will open up and let you see into the future. And sitting right there in that crowd, listen, among those men, listening to Jesus tell them that the Spirit of God will show them things to come, is John himself. And ladies and gentlemen, many, many years later, as an older man exiled on the island of Patmos, all of a sudden, this scripture was fulfilled. And God opened up heaven and allowed John to see all the things that are yet to come as prophesied and revealed in the book of Revelation. It is the result of the revelation of the Holy Spirit, His revelatory work, that we have this book that we have in our laps. That is, whether you're looking at the Old Testament, holy men of God moved by the Holy Spirit, or whether you're looking at the New Testament, it is the result of the revelatory work of the Holy Spirit. And listen, the witness that has spread throughout the world as a result of the printing of this book and the proclamation of this book is because of the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Right? Listen, next time you go to Walmart, go by the book section. If there are Bibles there, then go ahead and give God the praise that there's a witness right there at your Walmart. That's right. The scriptures, the printing of the Bible. There's the Word of God that is being spread, ladies and gentlemen, and some of them, some areas where the Bible is being smuggled in, translated in languages of people around the world, where there are ministries devoted just to the translation of the Bible into various dialects and languages around the world and trying to get them those Bibles to those individuals and to those groups, that is Christian groups within those nations. And as a result of that, the witness is spreading. And as this book is proclaimed and the proclamation of this book, listen, as it is preached and as it is proclaimed, then the witness is spreading throughout the world. And listen, that's what God is up to. That's what He's doing. And the reason why that all of this is happening is because of the witness of the Holy Spirit through revelation. Let me ask you this question. Would you be willing to take this book and give it to somebody? And not this one. This is my preaching Bible. If you can give a copy of the Bible to somebody, you have given them divine revelation. Just a Bible. Secondly, would you be willing to open up that book and share it with somebody? Would you be willing to memorize a few verses from this book that you could quote to somebody? You say, Pastor, I'm not too good at memorizing. It'd be worth your effort to just be able to share about who Jesus is based on this divinely inspired revelation of the Holy Spirit. If you would do that, then you would be joining the Holy Spirit in sharing the Word and being a witness. Let's pray. Father, we love You and pray that You would take Your truth and penetrate our hearts with it. I pray, God, that You would operate on us. Father, there are those, Father, who are unconcerned about being a bold witness. And I pray that You would correct that in the hearts of Your people. So many that are distracted by all the drama going on in the world around us. And so I pray that You would correct that in us. So that, Father, we realize, Lord, the great mission that lies before us as Your people indwelt by Your Spirit. Father, I pray that, God, You'll raise up some men of God and women of God, Father, right here in our church family, that, Father, would be bold in sharing the gospel with other people, that they would do it lovingly and full of joy, but boldly. Father, would You do that? Lord, even in times when it seems as though the world tells us that we have to be distant from one another, our voices carry far enough that we can still share the gospel. So, Father, would You work through each one of us? Lord, You've placed us in neighborhoods. You've placed us in places of employment. You've placed us, Father, right here in this community where we're at, so that we can be the witness, Father, that You've called us to be. God, you've given us opportunities to reach beyond. Father, to reach beyond our church walls, and we thank you for those who are willing to support and willing to get behind those efforts. Father, I pray that, God, you would use this church, Father, to spread the word and be a witness, Father, about Jesus and about the experience of conversion and how people can really know Christ. Thank you for those hearts you've already dealt with, those who've been listening, some that we don't even know about. We thank you for what you're doing. Would you bless this moment? God, there are those, Lord, who need to come and just get some things settled in their hearts, just get some things right with you and with other people. And God, there are some, Lord, who, Father, have just lost sight of what your purpose is for their life as a believer. We pray that you'd correct that in us this evening. We're going to give you the praise for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.